This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Get a Casper mattress and get a great night's sleep. Try it for 100 nights risk-free. Go to casper.com/Glenn and use the promo code Glenn. Get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Terms and conditions do apply.
Hello, America. Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. So glad you're here. I am a Leninist. I'm a Leninist. Lenin wanted to destroy the state, and that's my goal, too. Wait. Would that be good to say that? The Trump advisor, that is how he declares his political philosophy, that he is a Leninist. We'll talk a little bit about that and some media criticism that you're not going to hear on the mainstream media. What really happened, more importantly, what is really happening in America? We begin there right now.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Cause we are one. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Cause we are one.
Welcome to the program. In a 2011 radio interview, Steve Bannon said that the women's liberation movement consisted of a bunch of dykes that came from the Seven Sisters School up in England. He is accused by his ex-wife of anti-Semitism. He said, quote, he doesn't like Jews and that he doesn't like the way they raise their kids to be whiny brats. And he doesn't want his girls to go to school with Jews. He also said that what we need to do is bitch slap the Republican Party. I actually am kind of for that one. I think that one is okay. This is the disturbing one. He said this in 2014. I am a Leninist. Lenin wanted to destroy the state, and that is my goal, too. I want to bring everything crashing down and destroy all of today's establishment.
Yeah, but how old were you in 2014?
Right.
I mean, can you even remember back that far?
What's really disturbing is there are a lot of people that will kind of agree with that. And you'll read in the Declaration of Independence that you have a right to abolish or alter any government that goes awry from protecting the rights. That's not what's happening. We are talking now about burning down the state. It says you have a right to abolish or alter, but replace it with a government that does do the things the Declaration of Independence says you must do. Nobody's talking about what are you going to replace it with. For instance, hope and change. Change to what? Progressivism. We're going to make progress. Progress to what? I'm going to destroy the system. To replace it with what?
And when you say you're a Leninist, I think that eliminates 98% of Americans. I mean,
yes.
Everybody knows who that is and what that means. If you start out with, I am a Leninist, who uses that description? What American uses that description?
A radical Marxist.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think he's a radical Marxist. Mm. He likes the idea of burning down the state, which is a very frightening thing. I know that talk radio and the right are saying good things about Steve Bannon, or at least they're playing neutral. Well, I don't really know. I don't know who this guy is. Well, he is on record on his own website of Breitbart saying that Breitbart is the platform for the alt-right. So what is the alt-right? It was defined again by Breitbart, and I can never remember this guy's name. Richard Spencer. They defined it as a movement that the leading voice is Richard Spencer, an American. He is a white nationalist. And you'll hear people in talk radio say, well, populism and nationalism is not healthy, but it's not so bad. No. Populism and nationalism is bad, especially when you're talking about people like Richard Spencer, which Breitbart, in defining what their platform, what they're giving and making the Breitbart into a platform for the alt-right, they described it as the leading voice is Richard Spencer. Just do a Google search for Richard Spencer. See who he is. And tell me this is reflective of you, that you want anyone in the White House 2 degrees, 1 degree, 7 degrees from Richard Spencer. This is the kind of thing that we talked about with Van Jones. The question is not if he's next to the president. How is he getting next to the president? What does this say about the president? Now, I personally think that Donald Trump has no idea. I think Donald Trump has not put a second of thought into the alt-right. I think he would use them as useful idiots if he knew. And maybe Steve Bannon is doing that. But that makes him just as dangerous as if he actually believes in it. Because what you're doing is you're winding people up who are part of the neo-Nazis, who are part of the white supremacist groups, who are part of the Klan. You're winding them up and saying, we're your guy. Now, this has happened before. It happens the same way every time. Somebody sees these groups and they say, we can use them. Well, the last guy to do this in America, kind of like this, was Woodrow Wilson. What happened in the teens and 20s under Woodrow Wilson? The Klan grew to outrageous numbers because the government empowered them, because Woodrow Wilson quietly empowered the Klan. They more than tripled or quadrupled their numbers. They were almost dead. And because the president had a tip of the hat to them, they were everywhere in the South, and we had lynchings again. You can look in the 1930s. It was the brown shirt stormtroopers. These were just the Nazi Party. They were not empowered by the government. This was just the Nazi Party. And Hitler empowered them and used them to gain control. But then what happened? He turned on them because they outlived their usefulness. And everybody was afraid of the brown shirts, so we had the Night of Long Knives. And they were all slaughtered. The other way this can go is for the government then to A, empower, and then ignore and not be the people they thought you would be. When that happens, then they riot in the streets. Then they get violent. And then the people rise up and they cry out for a leader to do something. That leader is empowered even more to have law and order and get rid of these people. And they do. This is a very bad situation. And unless we take this infection out at the beginning, it's going to be much, much worse. Please, I beg of you, I will give the president the benefit of the doubt, the president-elect. I will support the president-elect until he does something unconstitutional or not in the spirit of the conservative and free market principles. I will not assign bad intent to the president. But I do assign bad intent to Breitbart and to Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon knows exactly who these people are, and we know this because he himself and his website has defined who they are. They know who they're dealing with. They have given them a platform and a voice. And anyone who tells you, well, you don't know who's on the message boards, you're right. You don't. But if the Blaze had come out and said, hey, by the way, we're going to be the voice for the alt-right, I'm calling those people to me. And that is exactly what Breitbart has done, and Steve Bannon. Please do your homework, America. This is vital that you understand and you don't put walls up to protect people who are engaged in the alt-right. 99% of the people involved with Donald Trump and supporting Donald Trump, 99% are not, they don't even know what the alt-right is. Please don't dismiss that 1%. This is the time that I told you, you have to be very careful who you're standing next to. I've told you that for years. There's going to come a time where you're going to need to know. They're going to sound just like you. They're going to say all the things, but they're not like you. Be careful who you're standing next to. This is that time. And Steve Bannon is a very, very bad man. I could tell you, I wish I could have the people on the air who have come to me personally. But some of these people are so frightened of Steve Bannon, their hands shake. And these are strong people that I know who have worked with him firsthand. He is a dangerous man. Please do your homework. Now, with that said, I want to have a conversation. Dom Theodore is our vice president of radio, or I don't know what you do exactly, but you run the radio division for The Blaze.
I'm just your general manager.
Yeah, okay.
General manager of radio.
And you run this program. Ellen Wheeler is our head of content for all of Mercury and my other company. And we were having a conversation this morning about what's happening. Now, yesterday, Pat and I attended a meeting that Steve Deese, who is this unbelievable talk radio host, he called a meeting of some of the people that were never Trumpers and reluctant Trumpers, some of the leading minds that he respects. And he wrote to me and he said, hey, Glenn, we're looking for a place, preferably down in Texas, to hold this meeting. And I said, well, hold it here. If I can come, I want to listen. So we listened. And what the meeting really is about is where do things go from here? What does this mean for the Republican Party? What does this mean for the conservative movement? What is the conservative movement? And what really happened? And so we had this conversation, and I want to start with Dom, because you were telling me a story about, you live up in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and you said the morning of the election, Donald Trump's going to win because everybody has miscast this. We've missed something very important.
Well, yeah, it was really, you know, I live in a really small town in West Michigan, in Mecosta County, and it's north, kind of north of Grand Rapids. One of the things that stood out to me, walking into the election, I never thought in a million years that Donald Trump was going to win until that morning when I went to go vote. And there were two gentlemen standing outside the voting area, you know, the little town hall. And one of them was, clearly a farmer. You could just tell a lot. It's a farming community where I live. A lot of them in that area. And there was another guy who was kind of a blue collar mechanic. He had grease on his shirt, and you know you could tell that he probably might have been a mechanic. I'm guessing. But I was listening to them talk, and it was then that I decided that Donald Trump was going to win this thing. And this was the conversation. Never mind 2008. These guys were talking about how they haven't had a good year since 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. The recession prior to the big 2008 collapse.
16 years of hell.
Yeah. And these guys, one of them was talking about how he holds down multiple jobs now and makes half the money that he used to make even back then. These folks hadn't had a good year in 16 years. And that's what this was all about. They were simply making a decision based on who they felt. It was a policy matter, not a principle matter.
So I had a friend of mine write to me on election day, and he said, this is the movement that you helped start, but you lost track of them. And I wrote back and I said, how do you mean? I'm not, I don't have the same principles as Donald Trump does. And he said, no, but I don't think they do either, Glenn.
No.
He said, these are the people that you talked to in Ohio during the Rally for America. These are the people you talked to in West Virginia and Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania and Michigan. He said, these are the people that connected. And I understood for the first time, I missed you. I didn't see. I was focused. Again, I think Selena Zito said it best. The people who listened to Donald Trump, who voted for him, took him seriously, but not literally. I took him literally and not seriously. And that was the big disconnect there. And it was because I think, and this is what I heard, but I misinterpreted it. I heard from people over and over again, Glenn, you're voting for some highfalutin principles. That's not what we need right now. I missed what I heard was, screw the principles. We just need to win. No, what they were saying was, principles are great, but I'm going to lose everything. I can't do it anymore. Not because they were afraid, not because of it. They were hungry. They were afraid of losing their jobs. They were afraid of losing their families. It was where it is intellectual to me. And in some ways, it is not intellectual to me. I am very concerned. I keep 300 people, 246 people employed every single month. And it's all based basically on what I do. I could destroy the company or keep the company going. 246 people. I think about that all the time. That weighs on me all the time. And whoever is in the Oval Office directly impacts my business. And I don't take that lightly. But it's not the same as being somebody who doesn't have a voice, who is working for an industry that the government has been targeting and putting out of business. Back in just a second, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's American Financing.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.consumeraccess.org.
Thank you, Pat. Coming up on the third hour, we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening to the stock market, but we're not going to talk about the stock market. We're going to talk about what it means to your financing, because I think there's real trouble on the horizon. The bubble is getting bigger after this election, and it doesn't make any sense to me at all. So we've got an expert to talk about that coming up in hour number three. If you are in dire straits, if you're somebody who is now behind and you have high interest loans, please consider a refi. Please consider calling American Financing. American Financing they're not run on commissions. They're run on salary. So nobody is trying to jam you into a refinancing instrument that a bank wants to sell you. And what they can do is they can take all your high interest loans, refinance into one lump sum, and you could save $500 to $1,000 every single month. Call 866-750-6551 or go to AmericanFinancing.net. I trust these people. I've known them for years. AmericanFinancing.net, 866-750-6551. America's home for home loans, AmericanFinancing.net.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep, and I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine, and they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn. $50 off the purchase of your mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Go tell it all.
Sounds like a joke, but it's not. The farmer and the mechanic go to a voting booth, and they're talking, and they're saying, you know, I've been behind the eight ball since 2000, which is the reason why. But they're not hearing. None of them are thinking political philosophy. None of them are thinking about forwarding the conservative movement. None of them. They're all thinking about basic survival. Where's your microphone?
Hello?
There it is. Okay, go ahead.
You know, they don't care about philosophy. That wasn't what this was. You know, they care about, they heard the China message, the China and Mexico, all the jobs are going to China and Mexico. That was the message that resonated most with the people in the Midwest. And I can tell you from personal experience, my cousin was actually working for a seatbelt manufacturer in the Detroit area. They moved the factory down to Mexico, made him go down and train those people, and then fired him. This happened a lot in the last 16 years, and you wonder why people are angry.
Where do we go from here? Next.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. Yesterday, Steve Dace was with us, and he's going to come up in about 25 minutes from now. Really smart, smart guy. And he decided that he was going to have a meeting of a lot of people that he really respected and wanted to have a place here in Texas to do it. So we offered our studios. And I sat in, and Pat sat in and listened, and so did Ellen. Now, Ellen is our chief of content, but she also used to be with FreedomWorks for a long, long time. What did you pull out of that meeting, Ellen?
As I sat and listened to all of you, I kept thinking, so we're not talking to the left the way they want to be talked to, and we're only talking to our side in a certain way, and those two sides don't get together. To me, it just all came down, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. I feel like a hippie from the 60s. It all comes down to love. And you talk about love all the time, but and you said it's all about, you know, survival, but that's all about reassurance and love as well. It's all about reassurance, which actually comes down to being about love. You want to be reassured that your life is going to be okay, that what you believe in and how you want to live your life is going to be okay, and that you're going to be free to do the things you want, which comes down to saying, I want to feel loved, and I want to be free to love other people and other things. And the left tells that message all the time. You are so loved. We love you. And we want to make sure that you have the ability to love everyone else you want to love and take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't talk about that. We talk intellectually. We talk about intellectual things. And so the message of we love you and we want you to have the life that you deserve to have or that you want to make for yourself does not come through, even though we believe we're sending that message.
Yeah, we believe it. Let me tell you a story. When I was at Restoring Honor in Washington, D.C., we all got together in front of the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And my very good, almost communist friend, George Lang, he pre-read my script, and then he watched the entire thing. And after he read the script, he said, you're missing the point, Glenn. Where's the message of love? And I said, the whole thing is love. And he said, you don't say it. I said, George, and this is the time when I was like, you know what? Hush. I said, George, you don't understand the whole thing. We speak a different language. He said, apparently we do, but you're not saying love. And I said, George, I was like more like Pat. The entire thing is saying that. And I didn't realize that words really make a difference to the other side. I was thinking, we'll show by demonstration. All of this, by what we're saying is, we love you. It's not the same. And so half the country doesn't hear. They don't hear us because we don't speak the same language. When we're talking about limited government, what we're talking about is, you want to marry somebody? Marry somebody. Love somebody. Yes. You want your dreams to come true? Great. Limit the government. For instance, right now, those on the left who are afraid, we are with you. There is no reason you should feel this way. And I'm not saying that because of Donald Trump. I'm saying that the president shouldn't have this much power. He should never be able to affect your life this way. California, you're now talking about secession. We get it. That's what limited government means, that you can live your life in California without obstruction from the government, but Texas can live its way. We all need to be able to do that. And to me, that is saying, I love you. That is saying, but they don't hear it the
right,
same way.
Because you're talking about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and saying the Constitution, therefore, will allow you this freedom. And I love you so much, I want you to have that freedom. Instead of saying, you know what? I don't want you to feel scared.
Yes.
You just say, you won't have to feel scared if we take the power away from the
Correct.
Government. Instead of saying, I, Glenn, don't want you to feel scared. That it's a different kind of language. And the left says, I don't want you to feel scared.
Right.
And we don't.
And then they match that with, but you need me not to be afraid.
Right, so that you don't have to be afraid.
Right.
And that makes us feel afraid of them. And that makes us feel unreassured. But we're just not saying it in the right, with the right words. And lots of times with the right tone. We get so excited and exercised about saying, hey, here are these constitutional values, that we're talking at the top of our voice and we're talking fast because it's such great information. Instead of saying, I
hear you.
Don't you want you to feel scared?
And it's easy to consume that message. It's much easier to consume that message the way that the left poses it as opposed to the way
you listen to talk radio. And a lot of talk radio is screaming. Look, and I never thought I would say this, look how popular NPR is right now.
And it's quiet and music is playing.
Right. It's not, I don't think it is because of the message. I think it is because of the tonality of it.
And that it's tonality having, feels like, I love you.
Right. I heard a talk radio show host yesterday that righteously was at the top of his lungs. And I just turned it off. I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
It's fatiguing.
It is. And we are at the place times 10 of where the country was at the end of Monica Lewinsky. Remember the end of Monica Lewinsky?
I do.
And we were...
you?
Yes.
Wasn't that
fatiguing?
It was so good to get over with it.
Right.
It's trying to be quiet and gentle, not trying to do a sexy bedroom voice and missing. There's a big difference.
That was a sexy bedroom
voice? That's what
I'm
saying. It wasn't, and I just think he was making an effort and
I don't think
falling
he has
short.
A sexy bedroom voice. Right. And if you do, don't ever try to use it on the air. So how do we get people to, because this is what I warned about, that you're going to be on the brink and you're going to cry out for a strong man. And 28% of the people who voted for Trump wanted a strong man. Literally, that's what their words were. I want a strong man to come and fix this. So how do you get people who are on that road
to then say, no, don't cry out for a strong man to fix it. Because, for instance, you said the farmer and the mechanic, and you have great example of it. Things are being sent down to Mexico, and bad things are happening. But, A, you will hurt business even more by forcing companies to stay. That's not what we do. That's building a Berlin Wall in, you know, a business Berlin Wall. And, B, by punishing China, they have already said they're going to do the same back to us. They said that yesterday. So the solutions are even worse. The solutions that we're talking about now make the entire country Detroit.
Well, here's the thing, though. If Trump does what he says he's going to do, at least, you know, a few times, he has said he will lower corporate taxes. I mean, think about why companies leave in the first place.
Yes.
The business that we have
the
business environment's not good.
Yes.
So can we correct the business environment so that businesses have an incentive to stay as opposed to going down to Mexico for cheap labor?
Yes.
That's what we need. That's the free market solution.
I guess Pat and I have a friend that has cancer. And he is part of this new therapy that they're injecting him with, like a re-engineered AIDS, right?
Yeah. AIDS virus, bubonic plague, all of those, I mean, really super strong viruses. That
the bubonic plague and AIDS is a super strong virus?
They're fairly strong. And they turn off the active, you know, gene in there. And then the idea is that you inject it into cancer cells. And it reorganizes the cancer cells because they're so powerful and kills them and turns them into the AIDS virus or the bubonic plague. But it's not to
compare anybody to the AIDS
active.
Virus or the bubonic plague, but to give you an example, when you're healthy, no one would say yes to, I want to inject you with this things that we know is bad, even though it's been re-engineered so we don't think it's bad. Nobody would say yes to that. But when you are in that desperate situation, you still wouldn't want to be injected with the AIDS or the bubonic plague. But if it's been re-engineered and it has an inkling of hope, because I think that's what we heard people say. Mm-hmm. There's no hope under Hillary Clinton. There's no hope under her, they thought. And yes, I don't like this. 60% of the people who voted for Donald Trump said they weren't happy with it. But at least maybe there's a chance. Like, our friend was thrilled to be injected with AIDS and the bubonic plague.
It's a phrase I didn't wake up thinking I'd hear today.
Correct, right? But he was really excited. He's like, I got into that study. Wow.
That sounds great.
But it gives you a chance to survive.
I will say that many people do inject themselves with botulism with no risk of death and do it by choice.
I think one of the
form of Botox.
One of the hopeful things, Glenn, though, is that, I mean, people want change and they're willing to risk to get it. And 8 years ago, people voted for change again. And I think if we can look at that and say, people know something is wrong.
Both sides
know that things are not functioning how they should.
And that's why that's why these numbers on both sides were so low. They know Hillary Clinton isn't that change either.
Correct. But that says that we're all out there looking for something that can give us the kind of life that we want.
Love.
I know you're making fun of me, Jeffy, but I do think that there is a hopeful. I mean, I think there's a hope for a time of us all saying we can give each other that freedom to live a good life.
Here is the difference. Here is the biggest difference. No one yet, and the first person who does it, will win. But no one yet has put the structure together of the Declaration of Independence. You've had the best one. I'm with her means nothing. What does that even mean? That's not America. I'm with her. Make America great is at least an idea. But the Declaration of Independence said, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one group of people to dissolve the bands of other, it shouldn't be dissolved for small reasons, but God demands that we say to the other group of people, hey, these are our problems, and this is why we have to get away from you. But we're doing it because we believe these things to be self-evident. And they said, this is who we are. Then they went into the usurpations and all the things the king had done. We're all leading with the things that the king has done. And we might slap a bumper sticker, make America great again. We all know that we can make America great again because look what they've done. The first person who says, we hold these truths to be self-evident in a way that is relatable to America today will win and lead both sides out. And now this. In cities, in states, in Washington, D.C., politicians are threatening our Second Amendment rights, but Bond Arms is doing something about it. They have just introduced a brand new gun called the PT-2A, Protect the Second Amendment gun from Bond Arms. It's a handgun of heirloom quality, and when you carry it, you'll show where you stand on the Second Amendment. And just like every gun from Bond Arms, it can be converted to suit your needs. 25 different barrels fit every Bond Arms pistol, and you can use 14 different calibers. Now, Gordon Bond has pledged that a portion of every PT-2A gun that is sold will go to protecting the Second Amendment rights. It's a special limited edition, only available for a very short period of time. Check it out. It's absolutely beautiful. Go to bondbeck.com. That's bondbeck.com. Take a stand because you matter and your rights matter. And the type of handgun you carry says a lot about you and a lot about what you believe in. See the new gun made in Texas, the PT-2A, at bondbeck.com. That's bondbeck.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
Obama said yesterday about Donald Trump because it was fascinating and very presidential.
In this situation, we're turning over a country that has challenges, has problems, and obviously there are people out there who are feeling deeply disaffected. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had the results that we had in the election.
Holy cow. Now, why would they be disaffected when they've had 8 years of you?
Now, you have to take... You have to take him coming and saying something very nice and go right at him.
What?
Come on.
I'm just curious. Isn't that an admission that
Yes, it is.
Done that well?
If you listen to his if you listen to the whole press conference though, he spent a lot of time saying how it was different and we weren't in these tragic circumstances that he took over in. And, you know,
yeah, it's still Bush's fault.
Yeah. He spent a lot of time saying, a lot of time saying, you know, things were good, but that was his but obviously some people do feel disaffected or we wouldn't have seen the results. This was sort of it was the second part of that, sentence.
I will say though, that is as conciliatory as I've ever heard him.
He is now building his legacy.
Well, he was getting ready to go on his administration's final farewell tour to say he's sorry for being an American. So he's traveling to Greece and Germany and Peru. He's traveling the world saying how look, everything's been great for 8 years. It should be maybe okay with Donald Trump.
The point of this, though, I think, is to say that he's actually been pretty good to Trump so far.
He has been very good to Trump.
He may very well not. But he's done the typical president thing, which is...
Which is very good. And he said that he even, this wasn't yesterday, but he said he appreciated that George Bush gave him breathing room. Let's see if he does the same.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.